really are. And it's a joy to be able to welcome our elementary kids in the room today. We are so glad that you are here. I actually want to start this morning with something maybe controversial. And that is one of my family members who I'm going to let remain nameless just for the protection of their identity. They did something that some of you in this room are going to just be so offended by. And some in this room are going to be, that is the most brilliant idea I have ever heard in my entire life. All right? One of my family members, it'll be very hard not to say who it is. One of my family members is very, they know what they like when they see it. And this happened with their Christmas tree this past year. They liked the Christmas tree exactly like it was. So the idea happened, and a picture is about to come up, that they wrapped their Christmas tree in cellophane. When the season was over, as is, lights, ornaments, everything wrapped, placed in storage. Thanksgiving, just 6 weeks ago, came and they bring this out, cut the cellophane, and saying, have yourself a merry little Christmas and drink some apple cider. So how many think that that is offensive? How many think that is the most brilliant idea ever? Oh, if I asked that before Christmas, the answer might be a little bit different, but you can rest assured that cellophane has already been purchased for this next year as well. But I say that because that is an incredibly resourceful idea, but that is not how you sustain the wonder of Christmas. You don't wrap it in cellophane and wait for the next year to come. And Christmas was never meant to be preserved by keeping our decorations intact. And for all of us, the buildup for Christmas is long, right? I mean, there's lots of gifts to buy, there's menu planning, there's travel planning. So there's a long buildup to Christmas, but December 26th comes and it quickly fades away. We quickly move from the buying of the gifts to the exchange of the gifts. We quickly move from the cooking all the meals to trying to clean out the refrigerator, right? And it's not only just true of the season itself, but that can be true of our hearts. That Christmas was meant to have a sense of wonder about it, a sense of awe, that it would have the mystery involved in it, that God didn't just look upon us, that he came near to us. And so right off the bat this morning, I want to ask you a really important question of your heart. Is the wonder that you held even a week ago of Christmas and all that led up to December 25th, is that still alive within you on December the 28th? Not the decorations, the music, but the astonishment, the pure astonishment that Jesus came just as he said he would. That's what this morning is about. This morning, we're not trying to recreate a feeling of Christmas, but I do want to challenge you with something as I have been challenged these last couple of days, and that is to guard the wonder of Christmas in our hearts all year long. That the sign that Isaiah said in Isaiah 7, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, that it would not be boxed up and put away with the other ornaments and decorations simply until next year. Because the wonder of Christmas was not meant to fade away. The wonder of Christmas was meant to grow all year long. May Christmas not be the end of something. May it be the beginning of something for us. To the beginning of remembering, the beginning of renewing our reverence and our praise for him. And as that is inside of my heart, that came because of a passage that we're going to be studying this morning. And that's Psalm 113. And it reminds us that the praise of Christmas is not just found in December, but the praise is carried throughout the whole entire year. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet, and I want you to read out loud with me Psalm 113. And if it's any indication of how slowly you're getting up for the rest of our time together, I'm already praying for that, all right? Because listen, you will see, you probably already see it on the screen. Do you see periods or exclamation points? Thank you, Sarah. Yes, you see exclamation points. So let's read it as it was meant to be read. Let's read together. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down from the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Excellent job. You may be seated. You may be seated. Listen, what the world does on December 26th is they just move on. There's some stores that already have Valentine's Day displays up, right? Psalm 113 does not let us move on. It requires that we not move on. The very first words are what? Praise the what? Lord. And this is a forever command that he has given us. And it even goes on to say how long? From this time forth to forevermore. And not just an eternity perspective, but a day perspective. From the rising of the sun to its setting. What the psalmist is telling us is something really important on this December 28th. And that is that praise is not a seasonal thing. Praise is an everyday thing. Praise is for the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter of your life. For it was in the darkest season and the darkest day of a man named Job's life that he said this: the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And then what does he say? Say it with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 113 is wanting to form us, form our worship. For worship is not meant to be confined to a mood or a I feel like worshiping today. Wonder is not something that we wait to feel. Wonder grows as we return again and again and again, not to a story, but to the Lord himself. In the normal routines of life, we return. As we trust his ways, we return. As we remember his name and his word and his promises, we return. And notice who this psalmist is directing this to. It's not just all the nations. It's someone very specific. It says, praise the Lord, oh, say the word, servants. Say it again. Servants of the Lord. What does he not say? He doesn't say spectators of the Lord. He says servants of the Lord. These are people who belong to him. These are people who choose to surrender all of their life to him. These are people, hopefully like you and definitely like me, who after 57 years, more than ever, finds my significance and my satisfaction not in myself, but in my Lord. And he keeps going on. These three verses are packed with things that we just can't just run through and run by. three times in three verses, he helps us to understand the bullseye of our praise. That it's not just a praise that we just walk down the road and say generic praise, but there is a bullseye that he repeats three times, and that bullseye is specifically the name of the Lord. We are servants, not of this vague force in the heavens. We are not servants to this just nameless, generic deity. No. The Lord, our God, has revealed himself to us. He has revealed himself as faithful and true. He has revealed himself as holy and merciful. He has revealed himself to us as utterly trustworthy. And when our praise is directed upon him, wonder in our heart does not fade. Instead, it deepens itself. It roots itself inside of our hearts. And I want to plant a question for you that can just be meditated on, pondered on for the rest of the service. And that is this: what kind of God would come down? What kind of God would come down? And as you think about that, as you ponder that, I want to invite our Kids Central team. I know we have some Kids Central team members that are coming. And I want to invite all of our elementary kids, with the permission of your parents, come on down. I saw some in the balcony. Feel free to come on down. If you have a younger one that you feel more comfortable you coming with them, please do. All right? Just come down, and I want you to sit right down here in the front. And our Kids Central team has something they're going to hand you as well. So make sure you go to one of them and grab that. Awesome. Come on down. Let's not sit on the stairs, because that's going to be a part of something in a minute. Very good. And if you'll back up just a little bit, enough room that I can stand right there, that'd be great. Yeah, don't get on the stairs. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Come on down. You're the next contestant. Hey, guys, I think y'all have some fans out there. Church, are you glad to see all this? Isn't this good? It's good, isn't it? All right, listen, y'all are all getting a piece of paper. You're all getting a piece of paper. And I need your help. Can y'all help me? Y'all good to help me? Good? All right. So what I need your help with is I want us to do an illustration, and you've got to represent something. All right? So you're sitting on the floor, and you're going to represent the nations. Someone tell me your very favorite place to travel to that you've been to. Where? Florida. This would be our Kids Central child. They need to go experience the world a little bit more. Yes? Georgia. Let's go a little further. All right, let me give you some places. Listen, as you are the elementary kids here, guess what? There are kids that live in Hong Kong, and they live in London, and they live in Brazil, and they live in Jerusalem and Ontario. They live everywhere. So that's who you're representing. You can pick in your heart and your mind, wherever you want to, because you're representing that. So this represents all of the nations and all of our elementary kids of the nations. All right? These steps represent all of the heavens. All right? This represents all the heavens. So I want to ask a question, but I don't want you to answer it. Isn't that the worst? Right? But we're going to be answering it. Here's the question. Because this is what the verse says. You'll see this on your page if you look at it. It says this. It asks a question. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is like the Lord our God? So you're the nations. The steps represent what? Heaven. The heavens, the stars, the moon, all the heavens. And guess what? It tells us something. It tells us that God is above all of the nations. And he is above all of the clouds and the moon and the stars that he created. And you know what that tells us about him? It tells us about him that he is bigger than anything. Because he made everything. And it doesn't just tell us that he's bigger than everything. It also tells us something, that he is enthroned. When I say the word enthroned, what word comes to your mind? That he is a king. That he is enthroned above the nations and above the heavens. That means he is the king above every king that's ever been. And it says to us also that his glory is above the heavens. He is above all those things. And inside of being enthroned, Psalm 113 tells us something that's crazy, that is surprising, and that is shocking. And you know what it is? It says this, look, he looks down. What king does that? That's exactly right. We can all go home now. Listen, he looks down. He looks down upon the heavens, and he looks down upon the nations and all those kids that live from Hong Kong to Brazil, and he knows their name. He doesn't have to look down, but he chooses to. And he chooses to because of his greatness. Listen, his greatness is not simply because he is bigger than everything. That is a reason he is great. But maybe even a greater reason that he is great is that he looks down on you. And what makes his greatness even greater than that is, look, he doesn't just look down upon you. You know what? He came to you. He came to you. That's right. He came to you. And this is the Christmas story. This is why we should always stay in this place that's just like mind-blowing wonder before him. Because Jesus came to you as a little baby. He left the throne and came to the nations, to the earth, to where we live. Not because he had to, but because he chose to. And do you know why he chose to? He chose to because he loves you. He knows you. And because he is above everything, you are not so far out of his reach that he can reach down to you. And that is why Jesus came. That is the Christmas story. And that is why wonder should never leave our hearts. And so as you pray this week, I want you to do something for me, but not necessarily for me, but for the Lord. I want you to thank him and praise him. Just like Psalm 113 says, I want you to praise him for loving you and thank him for coming to you. Okay? Now comes the big miracle, that you get back to your families. All right? Would you thank the kids for being a part of Illustration? Thanks. You may go back to your parents. All right, church, so as they are going back, and hopefully they find the right row with the right families. Listen, as we keep moving through Psalm 113, Psalm 113, verses 7 through 9, says exactly what we've just seen and what was just illustrated in that. And I like to call this a phrase that's a new phrase for me, but it's wonders reversal. Listen to verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. This is not just poetic language going on here. Dust, ash heap, that is describing something that is real. It is a real need. It is a real people with no status. There is no way to lift themselves up. We see it in the Gospels again and again and again. Where is Jesus drawn to? He is drawn to the people that need. that have no hope, that he is their hope. But we are those people. We are those people. And God does more than just look upon the needy. He comes to the needy. That is why there is no God like our God. Verse 8 says this, he not just looks upon them, but he acts. He makes them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. This is redemption's great reversal at work. The God who sits enthroned on high comes near to those that are in need. And now he seats the ones that were invisible, the ones that were in such a desperate need, trying to save themselves, realizing they could not, turn their eyes upon Jesus. These are the people that he sits, the poor in spirit. He sits them with the Prince of Peace. This is not just this temporary kind of kindness. It's not a picking a card of kindness and a good deed. This is who he is. This is how he acts upon what he sees. And for us, it's belonging. For us, it is honor, not shame. God's mercy doesn't merely comfort the lowly. He lifts them to a place now of honor. Verse 9 says this, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. As we saw in these last couple of weeks through that storyline of Elizabeth, barrenness was not only just about sorrow. It was about private shame. And it was also about a cultural isolation. And this is exactly where God loves to work. In those places that we would call shame. In those places that we would call desperate. He sees us and he draws near to us. And this is exactly what God did in the life of the Old Testament character of Hannah. We mentioned her these last couple of weeks. And the Lord turned her sorrow into joy as the birth of her son that she never thought would occur, occurred. His name was Samuel. Then generations later, the same God who looked down on Elizabeth opened up her womb and the birth of her son, John. We call and refer to him as John the Baptist. Different women, different centuries, but what is the same? God. The Lord our God is the same, for he never changes. He is the one who sees. He is the one who comes down, and he is the one who lifts the lowly. He is the one who sees you. He is the one who has come to you, and he is the one who wants to lift you. And then, in the fullness of time and the wonder of all wonders, Jesus came. John 1 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Psalm 113 reflects this flesh and bloodness of the gospel. The truth that the Son of God came and became the Son of Man. Christmas is not only that God looks down. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. But it is that Jesus, the Son of God, came close so that he can lift us up. He didn't have to, but he chose to. So what does that look like for you and for me? What does it look like to carry this wonder of Christmas with us, not just through the month of December, but all year long? Scripture doesn't tell us how long the feelings lasted at the actual manger. But it does show us how wonder lives on in a couple of ways when leaving the manger was necessary. Let's first learn from the shepherds themselves. After they saw the child lying in a manger, Scripture tells us they didn't stay there. Where did they return to? Where did they return? Back to where they came from, to the fields. They returned back to the sheep. They returned back to ordinary responsibilities. But Luke tells us something of how they returned. How did they return? They returned glorifying and praising God. They went back to the ordinary life, yes. But their ordinary life all of a sudden wasn't empty anymore. Their ordinary life changed because praise went with them back. That is what sustaining wonder of the incarnation does to us. It changes our ordinary days because praise accompanies us. So my question to you, as you re-enter your routine in these days to come, do so praising and glorifying Jesus in the ordinary. Then we have the wise men who did not come in that moment that the shepherds were there. We have a friend that does this thing that she videos herself when she does this during Christmas time. You never see her, but she is videoing and she finds nativities in stores. And if there's wise men there, she just lays them down or removes them. She has a really big passion about the accuracy of Scripture there. And sure enough, they weren't there at his birth. They were there at some time later than that. But their story is important for us, specifically for the wonder of Christmas. They came and they rejoiced. What do we know about the wise men? They worshiped and they brought gifts to him. Treasured, priceless gifts to him. But then Scripture tells us something about them that helps us today. They didn't go back the same way they came, did they? Remember? They diverted their path back in order to save and be a part of the preservation of the Christ babe. Wonder of their heart did that to them. Awe, worship did that to them. They didn't just linger in the moment. They didn't go the shortest route home. They obeyed and whatever God revealed to them, and God revealed to him and redirected their steps. So inside of our lives, worship and wonder should have an element of always having permission to redirect our steps because we trust him. And so my question to you is, as this holiday season closes, is Jesus asking you to reorder your steps in this coming year? And if so, will you, like the wise men, obey? And then we have, lastly, Mary with Joseph by her side. We studied the song of Mary and we were able to hear all the things inside of her heart expressed. It was such a beautiful expression of that inside of Luke, and that has that phrase that I love. She pondered them in her heart. Wonder does that. Wonder doesn't just rush through truths. Wonder sits with them, meditates on them, lets them have room to grow those things that we don't yet know, but we have an inkling that God is doing something. We allow that to grow, just as she watched the Son of God, who was the Son of Man, who's also her son, grow. But Joseph is the one that interests me. Joseph, we don't know a lot about, do we? And that's what interests me. Joseph obeyed again and again. Joseph protected his
son, just as he trusted God in that. I believe Joseph just simply took the next faithful step. And then in the Gospels, he just fades away from the story. So I don't know what that means. I don't know the details of that. But I do know that he doesn't have any recorded speeches, and he doesn't have recorded songs like the Song of Mary. No public recognition, just, I'm assuming, ordinary faithfulness. And sometimes in our lives, most of the times in our lives, that's what wonder permeates the most and displays itself as the most, is just ordinary faithfulness. That we simply take the next step that he reveals to us to take. That inside of confusing moments, inside of moments that require the waiting room, inside of moments that demands us to trust the wonder of his incarnation, that he didn't just look at us, but he came to us. That wonder will keep our praised focus on the name of the Lord. Because you may have walked in December 28th and didn't realize that you actually were walking to a really dangerous moment. And that dangerous moment is that you would already be assuming something that should remain astonishing to you. That you would maintain this astonishment that God, who is enthroned above all heavens and all the nation, would stoop. That's what that word in Hebrew is really saying. That he stooped to look. He didn't have to, but he chose to. And he wouldn't just stoop to look, but he would stoop even further to come to you and to me in and through his son, Jesus. Psalm 113, as we end this morning, may we not forget that he is exalted and he stoops to see and to come. That he is enthroned and he also draws near to you and to me. And because of that, of who he is, the wonder of Christmas was never meant to stay inside of a storybook. And so it means for us that for us to follow, that we follow back into our own fields of routine with praise on our lips, glorifying him, that we reshape the paths that we walk forward, willing for him to realign our steps to him, and that we would treasure the thinking and the meditating on who he is, and that our everyday life would just be filled with just a quiet, steady faithfulness. Today, may we ask him to help us see him clearly. Tomorrow, may we wake up again and say, Lord, I just want to see you. I want to behold you. We sang that this morning. May we behold him. For if we behold him, praise will come. If we behold him, wonder will grow. Praise will endure and obedience will deepen itself with such a joy. And our ordinary days will no longer be simply ordinary, just get through it kind of days. But our ordinary days will be filled with being his hands and his feet and even his mouthpiece of the kindness that displays his greatness to all of those around us. So what does sustaining wonder, a wonder that will not fade, mean? It means beholding him who has shown himself to be. It means that we're not holding on to the sentiment of a story or the sentiment of decor or food or even gathering. But what we are holding on to that sustains this wonder is Christ himself. And inside of this room, I know that we all are vulnerable to this moment. How many have already packed Christmas up and it's in the attic, right? I want it to be in the attic. I'm buying my cellophane today. I've been inspired. No, listen. Our hearts are tricky. They're just tricky. But Psalm 113, listen to it and do not let it move you past. Let it move you deeper into the wonder of who he is. And some in this room, it's not about sustaining a wonder. It's about coming to Christ. It's about saying, there's not a wonder about me. I know, yes, I maybe know the story and some of those details, but I don't know the person of Christ that you're talking to and I'm talking about. And I pray that today would be that day. You would prepare your heart before you re-enter what you would call your world. Just like the shepherd, something different about you. That Christ lives in you, and that comes by just saying, Lord Jesus, you are the King of all kings and you are the Lord of all lords. And it's not just the nations, but I want you to be that King and that Lord of my heart. Because I tried to save myself and I can't, but I believe that you came to lift me up. And you came to lift me up because you, Lord Jesus, didn't have to, but you chose to be lifted up. But you were lifted up on a cross for my sin so that I could be forgiven and lifted up to be seated by you, my Prince of Peace. If that's your day today, I pray at the end of the service that you would come and talk to one of the pastors or prayer partners. In just a minute, we're about to sing as the worship team comes up and they're going to lead us in a song. And so during that song, church, let wonder fill your heart. And let it express itself with a praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord. And let that now and forevermore, let that from the beginning of the sunrise to the sunset, let this be a part of that moment and worship him. And if you would like to have a conversation of coming to Jesus, we would love to have that conversation with you at the end of the service. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we say thank you. Lord, that sounds, even as I say it, Lord, so quickly. Lord, it can sound trite. And Lord, I pray that it's not. Lord, I thank you that you are high above the heavens and the nations. I thank you that you chose to look down. I thank you that you chose to look down and didn't stop there, but come down. And I thank you that you looked down, you came down, and Lord, I thank you that you acted on that. Lord, may the wonder of Christmas be living inside of our hearts all year long, growing, not fading, because you are alive within our hearts, growing and not fading. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand?